Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house this morning. We thank you for traveling mercies. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather together. We thank you for the good songs that stirred our hearts in praise and worship to you. We thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour that stirs our thoughts and reminds us once again what a great and wonderful God you are. Now help us as we look into your word. You see, those that have traveled out in the weather this morning, I pray by your Spirit, you'll reward them spiritually for their efforts. Lord, take your word, make it alive to it, make it applicable to us in our lives, that it might be helpful to us to live this Christian life. Now help us, help my words, but not only that, but by your Spirit, help the hearing of your word, that we might profit thereby, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's times when it's difficult to make sense of what's going on in life. And I don't just mean life in general. There's times it's difficult to make sense what's going on in your own life. Especially, I think as Christians, maybe it's even a little more disturbing to us as Christians, because we know life's supposed to have a purpose. We know life has a purpose. It's not just some random set of happenings that takes place. We serve a God that's in control. And sometimes, maybe many times, there's things in our life we don't have an answer for. We can't explain why. We can't see good in it. We can't see purpose in it. Amen? Things go wrong, and for the life of me sometimes, I can't figure out how I got there, why it got there, or any good in it being there. Amen? And I want to help us. I know I've been here a lot of times before in the life of Joseph. But Joseph is one that I go back to as one of the heroes of the faith. Joseph is one that showed incredible character and belief in God and the circumstances he went through in life. Let's go back there this morning. Start in the 30. There's a lot of reading. I got a lot of pages, but a lot of it is scripture. So a lot of reading this morning. 37th chapter of Genesis. Let's start in verse 2. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheath arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheath stood round about and made obeisance to my sheath." And his brother said unto him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren. And they said, "Behold, I've dreamed." He said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream once more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee on the earth?" And his brothers envied him. But his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And the Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said unto him, "Here am I." And he said unto him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." And so he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." Now this is Joseph. We see already, Joseph was the favorite, and he was home with dad. He's the youngest. The older brethren was out taking care of the flocks, and his dad sent him out to see what the report is. Verse 17, "The man said, 'They departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan.' And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh. Behold now, therefore, let's slay him, cast him in some pit, and we'll say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams.' And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let's not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might be rid him out of their hand to deliver him to his father again. Now, they seen him coming. They so hated Joseph. They said, let's just kill him. We'll throw his body in the pit. We'll tell Dad that some wild beast ate him up. And Reuben said, no, let's not do that. Put him in the pit. And Reuben's intention in putting him in there was he was going to get him out probably middle of the night and said, get home. You know, take yourself home. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him in the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and they lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Well, here's Joseph. Quick story of his life. He was the youngest, younger. He was the first son born to Rachel. Long awaited, the favorite wife, long awaited. The others, sons were born to Rachel's sister, you know. And then when Joseph come, he was really favored by his father. I mean, Jacob really favored him. The other brothers hated him because of his privileges. They looked on him with envy. Good chance he is spoiled. I mean, there's a good chance of that. He was a bit of a tattletale. Did you notice that right in the first part we read that? That he went, ran home and told Dad that they were up to no good. Did you catch that in the early part? Then he had dreams. And these are real dreams from God. But when he told them, I'm going to be greater than all of you, I'm sure that didn't set well at all. In fact, he is so hated, when his brothers seen him coming, they wanted to kill him. I mean, they weren't just saying, you know, can't stand the guy. They literally wanted to kill him. I mean, that was their level of hatred towards him. And a couple of his brethren at least had enough sense to say, we shouldn't do that. But they sold him into slavery. Now, that was better than being killed, right? I mean, it was a better fate. But here Joseph, in one day, has went from being Dad's favorite, 17 years old, went from being Dad's favorite, having everything, to being sold into slavery in Egypt. There's about 5 points I want to draw out of lessons in Joseph's life. But before I do that, I want to remind you of a truth. And it's a truth we need to keep in our mind. Why was Joseph sent down to Egypt? In God's plan, why was Joseph sent to Egypt? Is going to save him alive from the famine. He prepared Joseph to go down there because he's going to make him ruler of the land. Now, was that his brother's intentions in sending him down? No, they had no thought of sending him off to be a ruler that was going to save them from a famine later. And I want to remind us of a truth that we need to remember. We don't usually see God's plan. Amen. Usually, even in our own life, we don't usually see what God's trying to accomplish. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, God has a plan and purpose in this world. God didn't just create this world, spin it in its orbit, and leave it sit out there. God had a purpose. That means He had a reason. He had a plan. He had a plan for this creation, what He was trying to accomplish. Amen? And God still has that plan. God sees the end from the beginning. So His plan is still perfectly on track because He's seen all the obstacles. He's seen everything He's going to have to go around. God's plan in this world, first of all, is to save all those that he can. His purpose in life is to show himself to mankind so that they can see him as he really is, so that he might redeem them to himself, so that he might have a relationship with them throughout all eternity. That's what God's primary purpose in life is. It isn't to make me feel good. It isn't to make me rich. It isn't to make me popular. It isn't to make my life go smooth. God's biggest plan in life is to save all he can. Now, God's concerned about how I feel. He's concerned about my finances. He's concerned about my welfare. But his overriding plan is to get me home to heaven and everybody else that he can get safe home to heaven. God has a plan for my life. I may or may not be able to comprehend that plan. Probably at best, just in little pieces. What he's actually trying to accomplish in my life. I don't know how I fit completely, how I fit in God's big plan for the world. But it is in there. Amen? And so are you. The primary purpose for God is saving all that he can, bringing men and women to a knowledge, saving knowledge of him, and to an eternal relationship with him. That's his primary purpose. And his primary purpose in your and my life is part of that plan. We don't always see that, right? I mean, we don't always see that. We don't always know how the events of our life are fitting into that plan. We know how they're making us uncomfortable. We know how they're making us distraught at times with what's going on. But we don't see God's overall plan. God had a plan to make Joseph the ruler of the greatest nation on earth, and in doing so, create a new nation. Bring a wandering nomadic people together to become a nation, amen, that would be his people, his nation, that he would deliver, that he would show himself strong to, that he would reveal himself in the fullest way through them to all the rest of the world, amen? Now, how would you take a wandering nomad from a tent to the throne of Egypt? That's an impossible task, isn't it? I mean, they had lineages. They had different things that were in place for who was going to sit on the throne. That wasn't just a happenstance. Amen? Joseph needed to learn the culture, needed to learn the language. He needed to know a whole lot. Joseph may have needed his character developed. He may have very well been a spoiled young man. Even though he had a good base character, there may have been a lot of adjustments that needed to be made before he could rule. Amen? Same way with you and me. We don't know what God has in store. We don't know what God needs to temper in our life before we can fit that plan fully. We don't know what knowledge we need to gain through experience or otherwise before we fit into that plan. Amen? I jotted down 5 lessons that we ought to learn from Joseph and his trip from the tent to the throne. The first one is, do your best in every situation. Not every situation in life that we come into is our liking. Not every situation in life we find ourselves in is what we'd prefer. Amen? What we'd have chosen. But do your best in every situation in life. Genesis, the 39th chapter, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Israelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You know, when Joseph got sold into slavery, It would have been very easy, in fact, maybe expected, for him to just do what he had to do, right? No more. Just, okay, I have to get up, I have to do this. Do what kept him from getting beaten too badly, but just do what he had to do. But that isn't the way Joseph approached this. You can tell this by the way he prospered. He made the best of the situation. Here he was. He was a slave, but he made the best. Evidently put his best effort into what he is doing, right? Now, even though Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, his whole life turned upside down in a day. Now he's a slave in an Egyptian's home. God was still with him. You know that? Listen, you can have the blessing and the presence of God with you in the midst of disappointment and adversity. You can have the presence of God with you in a situation that you'd rather not be in, that we'd rather not have chosen. Amen? You can still have God's blessing and God's presence with you. There's no indication that Joseph allowed himself to wallow in discouragement and disappointment. He took the task at hand, that was his lot in life for the moment, and he did the best he did, right? And that ought to be a lesson for us. Amen? Do the best in every situation, good or bad. Life changes quickly, doesn't it? Man, it can. Who'd have thought we'd looked at $1.70, $80, $90 gas a year ago? I don't know what it'll be next year, but I wouldn't have thought it was here now. Amen? We don't know. Listen, politically, in the church, spiritually, materially, we don't know what the future holds. Now, we think we're pretty smart and we can project that, but we don't know what the future holds. Amen? Whatever situation you find yourself in, it's temporary. Even if it lasts the rest of your life, it's temporary. Because this life is short and we got something better. Amen? But just because it's temporary doesn't mean we shouldn't put our best into it. Whatever the situation in life, day by day, do your best in every situation. Oftentimes it's how we face life that's more important than what we face in life. Amen? Guard your attitude. Don't give up on God. It'd been easy for Joseph to say, "Where is this God my dad talked about?" It'd been easy for Joseph to not do his best. First of all, do your best in every situation. Secondly, keep your integrity in spite of disappointments and trouble. Chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." He refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that I hath to my hand. There's none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her, that it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which I have brought unto us came in to me to mock me. And it came to pass that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled.'" Here's Joseph. He's a slave. He's in a foreign land. Amen? Away from all the influences of good that he had known growing up with. You know, when disappointments come in life, and you know this by experience, listen to me. When disappointments come in life, it's easy to give in, let down our integrity, let down our life of holiness. Amen? It's easy to give in and please ourselves when we feel like we've been treated unfairly. Come on. Now, most of you live life for God long enough to realize that's the truth. Amen. I'm not alone in this, am I? Come on. It is. It's a temptation to forsake, listen to me now, to forsake God and fall into sin. During those times of difficulty and disappointment may keep us from ever seeing the plan God has for us. Amen? It may prevent. God knows where you're at. He knows why you're there. He has a plan. But to give in and abandon God, to abandon our integrity in those situations, may prevent God from being able to carry out the good that He intended for us. Amen? Keep your integrity. Secondly, or third rather, maintain your relationship with God. Disappointments can separate us from God. There is huge danger in disappointment because it's not a long trip in your mind or in my mind from being disappointed in life to being disappointed in God. Amen? Because as Christians, when we believe God's in control of everything, which He is, and God permits what He decides to permit, restrains what He decides to restrain, it's not a large leap for us to go from being disappointed with life to being disappointed with God. To begin to believe God could have done better. God should have done better. I could have done better. Amen? Those disappointments can cause us to no longer trust Him in the way that we need to trust Him. Listen to me. Adversity and trouble in life will either draw us closer to God or separate us from God. Real trouble and adversity rarely leaves us untouched. It'll either cause us to draw up close to God and rely on Him more, or it'll cause us to step away from God and bring a separation. Amen? Genesis 39:19, it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant unto me, and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. And the keeper of prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and he did, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Joseph's still making the best of his situation. Now, he's went from being the favorite son to a slave to in prison falsely accused. But he's still making the best of the situation. Amen? He's still doing the best in the situation he's in. He continued to recognize God because God continued to be with him. Amen? And we see that he recognized God because two of Pharaoh's servants were put into prison. And they had dreams. Verse 8 of Genesis 40th chapter said, they said unto them, we dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph continued to recognize God. Through all this, through all the difficulties, through being sold as a slave, through being falsely accused and thrown into prison, he continued to do his best. He kept his integrity, and he continued to maintain his relationship with God. And we see that evidence because he said, hey, God's the interpreter of dreams. Tell me. Which is an indication that he could talk to God. That he had confidence that he could talk to God and hear from God. Amen? And he did. Joseph interpreted their dreams by the help of God. Maintain your relationship with God, and then fourth, continue to trust God. In the midst of trouble, we must continue to trust God. We're not promised to know everything in life. And the truth is, we're not promised to know anything in life about certain whys in our situation. We're not promised that we're going to see the end from the beginning. Amen? But one thing we are promised is that God loves us, God cares about us, and that all things will work together for our good to accomplish God's plan. Romans 8:28, we know. I like that he said, we've heard. He said, we know. that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Amen. Continue to follow God even though you may not see where He's going or what He's doing. I've used this illustration several times, but if you're sitting up in the stands at an Ohio State game, the band does some incredible things with their movements on the field, right? I mean, from a ways back and watching it, you can see the script Ohio, you can see all kinds of neat things that they do. But I imagine if you got a tuba or some big horn in front of your face and you're marching around, you can't see any of that. All you see is the guy or girl in front of you, or their horn, or their back. I mean, that's what you see. And you have to do what they have instructed you to do. Walk, turn at the right speed, at the right time, at the right length. You have to do what you've been instructed to do for that to work right. Amen? In this life, it's much the same way. There's a lot of times we can't see from God's standpoint how it's all coming together and working. All we know is what we've been told to do. And our task is not to try and see everything. Our task is to do what we know we're supposed to do. Amen? Continue to trust God. You know, we may not ever fully in this life see our part in God's plan. We may never see that. There were some whose task in God's plan was simply to preserve the truth from one generation to the next, from one time through a dry period to the next period. Amen? They died in the faith, not having seen it, but they carried the truth in faith. Continue faithful. The work God's doing at large may not be obvious. The work God's doing through you may not be obvious. God may be preparing you for a task, a greater task than you could even comprehend. Amen? Joseph, if God would have told him what he was trying to do with him, Joseph couldn't have took it in. And it may have caused him more trouble trying to understand if he knew he was going to be a king of or Pharaoh's right-hand man. He may have had more trouble going through being a slave and falsely accused and in prison. Amen? Be faithful. Amen? Do what we know to do and continue to trust God. And then finally, the final lesson we need to draw from this is God is faithful. Though we may not understand everything, though we may not understand anything, though everything that's happening may seem adverse to God's plan or adverse to our life, God is faithful. Amen? In Joseph's life, we see that. In Genesis, the 40th chapter, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. Well, now, you know, Joseph told the butler and the baker their dreams. This is good for one, not so hot for the other, right? I mean, their dreams interpretation. One of them got the short end of the stick, you know, his head come off. The other one went back to the palace, right? But he forgot. You know, he said, now when you go back to the palace, remember me to the king. But, you know, he's back. He's happy to be back. He forgot about it. And it was 2 full years. Now Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler finally did remember, hey, there's a guy down in prison told me my dream. And they sent for Joseph. Verse 14 of the chapter 41, and Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, there's none that can interpret it, and I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered the Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Notice Joseph still trusting God, still maintaining his integrity, still looking to God, but still very confident that God was going to be able to answer and tell him what the dream meant. And he did. He interpreted the dream, told him what to do, and verse 38, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has shown thee all this, and there is none so discreet and wise as thou art, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and made him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. God's faithful. One day, Joseph goes from prison to the throne. I mean, in one day, Joseph went from being even forgotten by the butler in prison to elevated to next to Pharaoh. He said, there ain't got nothing going to happen to this except you say so. Amen. It was so evident God was with him at the right time. Amen. That Joseph went from the prison to the throne in one day. You know, that's a reminder we need every now and then. Things can change in a hurry. I mean, when things go wrong, we so forget God's goodness in the past. We so forget how He's helped us in the past. And we begin to think, woe is me, this is the way it's going to be till I die. Yep, this was the big one. We're going down this time for the last time, right? Every time, right? Hey, God's still in control. Things can change in a hurry. Amen? Things can change in a hurry. James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. When we talk about Job, what do we usually remember? Job is set forth as an example of patience, faithfulness through suffering. Amen? Joseph went from being the richest guy on the face of the earth to losing everything, and having his friends think he must be the center of the biggest degree because of what's happened to him. And his own wife saying, just curse God and die. Get it over with. It's hopeless. What was the end of the Lord? He's very pitiful and tender mercy, wasn't he? What got Job in trouble? God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the land. The fact that he loved God and was faithful to God is what brought all that on him. It was God's confidence in Job. Amen? He pointed him out. He said, Satan, you seen that one? There's a good one. There's a true one. And Satan said, yeah, he don't serve you for nothing. Look at him. He's got a fence about him. He gets everything. And so God said, okay, take it. You'll see. He's real. You know, sometimes people around us need to see that our relationship with God is real, not just because it makes us prosper, not just because it makes us feel good, not just because it makes things go our way. They need to see that our relationship with God is real, that we love God because of who He is, not just because of what He gives us. That's one of the lessons in Job. Amen? That's a takeaway. Job, without the benefit of the written word, without the benefit of the law, had confidence and knew God well enough that he continued faithful when all of it was gone. Amen? His reputation, his standing, and all of his physical possessions were gone. What was God's response to that? Job 42nd chapter verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke oxen, 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And I didn't write it down, but God also allowed him to live to an old age that he was able to see his family to the 3rd and 4th generation. Amen? What? You know, the lesson in this, God blessed Job. Because God loved him. And Job loved God. God proved that Job was real for about 6 months out of his life. About 6 months, Job had some severest of trials. But then God gave him twice as much as he had before the trial. Amen? He was the richest man on the face of the earth before he endured tremendous loss and pain in a relatively short amount of time. But then God blessed him with twice as much as he started with, and a good long life to be able to enjoy it. Our God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that's going to be what happened, that you're going to live to be 140 years old and have all these, I don't know how many relatives he had. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But what I am saying, just like James said, you heard of the patience of Job. You heard about Job's endurance. Don't forget about God. You've seen the end of the Lord, that he is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. Job was faithful. God was more faithful. Amen. Amen. Don't forget that in your life. You're going to have ups and downs in life. You're going to have successes and failures. You're going to have things that go your way, things that don't go your way. Amen. You can look around and you're always going to be able to find people that are prospering in one way or the other more than you are. Some that profess to be Christians, some that don't. Amen. Don't get focused on that. This life is not the life where our reward is. Amen. Our reward is in the life to come. That really is our reward. God is trying to save, salvage, rescue every soul that he can. He's trying to reveal his love, his goodness, his fairness, his justice. He's trying to reveal himself to mankind. He needs human instruments to work through and accomplish in that task. Maybe not needs is the right answer, the right word. He's chosen to use human instruments to accomplish that task. Amen? We have a part to play in that big picture of God, the purpose of God. We don't often see how we fit. And we certainly don't see how God's shaping the events of life to bring about his purposes. And I want to encourage you this morning. I know some of you in some adverse situations. Some of you struggling, I am. Struggling with some things that I wish was different. Amen? But let's not forget the lessons God's Word has for us. In the life of Joseph, do your best in every situation. Amen? Do your best. Whatever, bloom where you're planted, my mom used to say. Probably still does. Bloom where you're planted. That means make the best of the situation you're in. Keep your integrity. It's one of the great temptations of Satan is to say, you've had it so bad, life's so unfair, reward yourself. And usually that reward yourself means stepping outside the bounds of what God's set. Amen? Giving ourselves liberty, we know better than. Maintain your relationship with God. Don't just go through the motions. Continue to trust God. Because I can tell you on the authority of God's Word, those who do will find God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. We can't choose the path of life in a lot of ways that we're called to walk. But we can choose how we walk. Amen? We can choose that. Let's be examples of true believers in God, no matter what circumstance of life our path winds through on the way to glory. No matter what circumstances we're called to go through to accomplish God's purpose in our life. Amen? Amen. May God help you. May God help me in this life. As you stand, we sing a verse of song. Dearly Father, we thank you for your word.